KUSF San Francisco!
Got a mind of its own. All I know was something's missing. When I talk, no one would listen. My poor heart had all but turned to stone. I lost my job and spent my youth. My alibi's 100 proof. All I knew was women's song and wine. I lost the one love of my life. I wonder where she is tonight. I bet you I don't even cross her mind. I ain't no good at this. I'm tired of being afraid. Took a long time getting to the decision that I made. White flag, surrender. It all by now. Who's in charge here anyhow? For a man that knew it all, I know I don't. Seems like I've been here forever, getting down to now and never. I could keep on hurting, but I won't. I ain't no good at this. I'm tired of being afraid. Took a long time getting to the decision that I made. This down and out high roller has found a better deal.
So here's the deal. That's the way many a conversation begins in Texas. No question about it. Because they're pretty much straight shooters there. And I have to say that someone from New York, I certainly understand that sentiment. Of course, now I live in California, and we'll just leave that part alone for at least the first minute or so of the show. But having gone to school in upstate New York, I was exposed to a lot of, I don't know what we call it now, but it was rock and roll of a different nature than a lot of what you hear in a lot of the bands that come on this radio show. We're talking Little Feat, Marshall Tucker Band, Allman Brothers. And today we're talking about a man who was brought to me through my friend Gary Fortin. Called me up, has talked about him many, many a time, and called me up and said, Stephen Bruton's going to be in town. He's a friend. Do you want to interview him? And I have to be brutally honest, I didn't know as much as I do now, certainly, about Stephen Bruton. But I'll give you some names. The man, in addition to all the music that he has composed and recorded himself, has also recorded with Kris Kristofferson, Bonnie Raitt, Little Feat, Delbert McClinton, Willie Nelson, and at least a gazillion others. So thanks to a lot of trips to Austin at South by Southwest, my friend Patty Mitchell out there, and Gary, I've become an adopted son of a different type of rock and roll than a lot of the typical things, like I said, that we play on this show. And that's why our number one of this thing that I like to call Just Another Menace Sunday is the domain of a man who originally is not from Austin, but you'll learn a lot more about his history. Stephen Bruton, who has a new record out on New West called From the Five. The great thing about this interview, as you will hear, is this man is a pro. And I don't just mean a pro is a great musician, but a lot of the kids come in here and it's like, well, what do we talk about? You'll hear a lot of intelligent talking here and some great music afterwards. It's Just Another Menace Sunday. It's Dennis the Menace. Hour number one, interviews with rock and rollers of note. Hour number two, all new melodic rock and roll a la Dennis the Menace. So I think we better stop pussyfooting around and get right to our talk with Stephen Bruton on Just Another Menace Sunday. Would you introduce yourself, please, sir?
I am Turner Stephen Bruton. From Austin, Texas.
From Austin, Texas. I have been
originally
there.
From Fort Worth.
Yes. That would be question number seven. Okay. Give me a little time for crying out loud. I don't think that you are busy or in demand enough. Bonnie Raitt, Little Feat. Let's start with a quick chronology. Easy for me to say after all this. A quick chronology of your year before we get to the album and all the other stuff. You're not busy enough, Stephen.
Well,
Come on, would you work a little harder?
I try to stay busy. I mean, the album came out in July, and since then I did a West Coast swing, drove back to Austin, put two guitars and an air mattress in a Suburban, and did a like 4-week run of the East Coast doing solo club dates, which I'd never done before. And then I came back, had 4 days off, put the band back together, did 2 weeks with Bonnie Raitt, sent the band home, got on the bus with Little Feat, and did about the next, 6 weeks. Although it was 3 weeks and then a week off and then a week on and then a week off and a week on.
Now
and
then,
had a week off and put the band together and came out west where I am now.
But I like to put the band together. It sounds like you've got a set of instructions, right? And it's like, okay, there's the drummer over here, and there's the bass player, and we put them together, and, you know, uh-oh, there's a screw missing. We can't put the band together. What are we going to do?
No. These are all...
No, these are your players. I understand that. These are long time, I know. These are long time...
Yeah, all good. All, yeah.
Friends that are willing to be put together and on and off and... Whatever
well, I mean,
takes.
Right now you have to be able to present, or at least I have to be able to present myself in any kind of format, which is solo, duo, trio, quartet, whatever. And I don't mind doing it. It all starts with the songs, and if the songs are there, you can perform them in any format, and they seem to work.
Okay, you ready? You ready for this segue? Now just
segue.
You ready to segue?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, into the new album. You're known as a guitarist, but the songwriting on this album. So, you know, twin sons of different mothers, right?
Mm-hmm.
The songwriting on this album is the buzz of On the Five. That's what people are talking about. I mean, sure, we the guitar part is obvious, but it is the songwriting that people are blown away by here.
Well,
so let's talk about that a little bit. And we're going to talk about it for a while. My good friend Bonnie Hayes, you know, who's in this town, who's on my show constantly. She's a good friend of mine. She'll probably come see you tonight. I wouldn't be surprised. She's up there in Marin anyway.
I hope to see Bonnie.
I'll give her a call. Make sure. Maybe we'll just head up there after the show. But you know, and you know, she wrote you share the Bonnie Raitt connection and the whole nine yards. But every time she comes on the show, we spend a lot of time talking about the craft of songwriting and how, I know it's terrible for, you know, two people of a little more than advanced age. Let's face it, nobody in this room is 21 years old, but songwriting. What's with these kids today?
Well, I can't answer for them. I can only answer for myself. I mean...
Okay, what's with you? How come you're keeping this alive? What's the...
Well, I got...
That was sarcastic, by the way.
Oh, I'm not keeping it alive. It's alive and well. But I got to hang out with some really great songwriters early on. And songwriting in general seemed to be a little bit more involved. It wasn't just like a Hallmark greeting card with a chorus, you know, or usually that's the chorus.
I love you very much. I'm going to see you and such.
But I mean, let's face it. I mean, the songwriting came out of, hey, there's a little girl walking down the street. She's the kind of girl I'd like to meet. Now, that's cool.
Yes.
But it's also cool if you're only 15 years old. And let's face it, an entire generation of, you know, everybody's been growing up with their songs. Now, these still aren't as involved as Cole Porter and Gershwin and stuff like that, and Sammy Kahn and all those guys. So there are people that dig, that go from a deeper well, and there's people that go for the more obvious. And frankly, you know, I don't mind a dumb rock and roll song. To me, gets me as much as anything else.
It's good to
my
dance
favorite
too.
My favorite lyric in the world was the flip side of Fat Man's Boogie by Fats Domino. He had a song called "It's You I Love," and the refrain that keeps going is "Come here, kiss me, it's you I love." And I said, "Man, that's
what more do you need to know?"
That's it,
right?
If you can say it that simply, you've succeeded. So, to get back to what I do is, I got real spoiled. I got to hang around with great songwriters early on. And I always kept my ears open. I mean, everybody in the world's been influenced by Bob Dylan and Lennon McCartney and everybody else, and Richards and, you know, Jagger and everybody. And also just the great songwriters that were all around, you know, the Fred Neils and the Tim Martins and the, I mean, everybody. And so you keep your ears to the ground. Robbie Robertson wrote some great songs. Richard Manuel. I mean, these are some of my favorites. Van Morrison. I mean, come on, everybody comes out of that mode. But I got to personally be around with Christopherson for years and years, of course, and hang out with that bunch. That was everybody from Billy Joe Shaver to Willie to, and these guys came. They came from a deeper well. They didn't write formulaically. They didn't write pop music. They wrote. They wrote country music, which was at that point adult music. I mean, it's not anymore. It was adult music about adult themes.
They kind of wrote songs. They didn't write songs to sell. They wrote songs that sold as a result of being great songs.
Exactly. Now, that also points to a different industry and a different...
Yes.
You know, a different way of, I mean, that's a different audience too.
Yeah, we could go down the record company road, but that's
pretty obvious. That's like throwing rocks at the biggest barn too.
People,
you know?
People have heard anybody that too many times, you know, particularly on my interviews. It's the easiest one. It's the easiest target, and it's not really, you know, it does get boring because if you haven't figured it out already, you know, flip on most radio. And you know.
Yeah, but you know, we're talking about songwriting, and the fact of the matter is, I don't worry about that stuff. That I mean, I look at the Grammys, and it's like a completely different business. It's like, I wonder what business these guys are in, because I'm out here, you know, slogging away. And I don't, you know, anybody that's success in music, my hat's off to them, believe me. But that's, you know, I'm happy. I'm pretty comfortable right now in my own skin. I mean, I enjoy the songs I'm singing, the songs I'm writing. I love playing with my band. And the fact that I get to do it at this, you know, still, let's face it, how many people can say they get to do what they love?
Yeah, and
anywhere.
And you're 30 years for you, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's not chicken scratch.
I'm pretty grateful about that.
Tell me about collaborating with other writers on some of these songs.
Well, there's just a few people that I trust. I got to know what people, I got to know what people laugh at, you know. I like writing with other people. Sometimes it lets you off the hook. Sometimes it also kind of
complicates things.
Well, it also complements things.
Right.
And that's what you kind of try to write, you know. My buddy Sean Hopper and I always say we're going to try to write something, and it just hasn't happened yet. Donnie Fritz and I were on the road with Christopherson for 17 years. We've written one song, which we wrote a couple of years ago. Al Anderson and I get together and write songs between laughs. I try to get most of my stuff myself, and then if I'm like high-centered on a certain point, there's people that I trust. There's a guy named John Kilzer I trust. I'm not saying trust in the fact that these are the only people I trust. It's just that I know that John Kilzer comes from a deep well. He doesn't try to go for the easy way out. He tries to go for a little bit something different. And then my friend Randy Jacobs, I love writing with Randy. And that's a totally different approach, you know. But I don't usually, I write, when I'm able to see my friends, I try to write with them. And most of the time I try to get everything going myself.
Okay, New York boy meets Fort Worth boy, but so a little sarcasm. You have just a few well-known musicians on the album. Just a couple. You pulled out Steve Ferrone. You pulled out just a couple of people.
Yeah.
To support
you. They needed a lift.
Well, yeah. So let's
talk. And they needed a leg up. So tell
the audience a little bit, for those of them who haven't gotten that deep yet.
Well, Steve Ferrone on drums I've known for years and years. He and I worked together with Christine McVie when she did her first solo album.
Mm-hmm.
He and I were in the band. Became great friends and stayed great friends for all these years, and always look forward to trying to do something together. When it came time to do my new album, my regular drummer, Brandon Temple, was doing a jazz gig in Spain. At the time that the album came about, I've been planning to do this album over a period of time, and it just wasn't happening. And finally, it just happened in a 3-week period, just like this. All the dominoes started falling. So when Brandon couldn't do it, I called Ferrone. I said, "What are you doing?" He said, "When?" I told him. He said, "Well, I can move a couple of things." I said, "Move them. Let's go." And it was very, very fast. We got to work. My friend Bill Payne from Little Feet, he and I had written a song together. And I said, "I really want you to work on this, like that song and a couple of other things." He was available. In other words, everything just kind of fit. My friend Stephen Barber, who's a great keyboard player and a composer, he and I had written together. He's another fellow that I enjoy writing with because he kind of writes from above the maze. And so I wanted to utilize him. I knew these guys could do it right then. And then I used Yogi Musgrove on bass because Yogi plays with me in Austin, and he's a great bass player. And then Randy Jacobs was around, so I put him to work on some rhythm guitar parts. And
How many of you were actually in the studio at the same time? And how
everybody.
Much? Wow.
So everybody, it's a live album.
So what is it like playing with every single musician who can tell you what your opinion is? Everybody in that room, even though you are, quote, the boss, they I admit there was some pretty interesting dynamics in there.
Well, you have to understand, these guys are at the top
of their game.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And so, but the thing that's really interesting is what you look for is people that play with kind of like without ego. They play for the song.
For the session and for the song.
That is the secret of a session player. If you play for the song, you don't have to prove your point. You just have to make sure that song, and that's something that I learned after working with years and years with Christofferson, was the fact it's not about your chops. It's about making the song happen. So these guys all know how to do that very well. And so what you get is you hear this incredible musicianship, but you just hear a tip of the iceberg. And you kind of go, ooh, if that's all I'm hearing, there's an awful lot there. So, and everybody there was there. We only had, we did the album took a number of weeks to do, but the rhythm tracks were done in 3 to 4 days.
Wow.
Because that was the time frame. Everybody had to come in. I mean, that was it, you know. So I came in, charts written, everybody, you know, had an idea, but they learned it on the spot. Yogi knew most of the material. And everybody else was just, you know, here's the way it goes. We tried a couple of different approaches on certain songs. It wasn't all first takes or anything like that, but it, I mean, we tried certain, try to do the song a certain way if it was too fast or maybe the feel wasn't quite right. We'd sit around and talk about it, but everybody's there for a reason, so it wasn't a lot of messing around. Everybody went right to work.
And the quote that I've read quite a bit is that the doctor should never operate on himself. So you brought in Ross Hogarth. And tell me, then, did he come in? Where did he come into the process?
Well, I was out in L.A., and I was doing something with T-Bone Burnett, my old friend from Fort Worth, who's a great producer. And
yes.
And I was working with him, and what happened was I was trying to do this album in Woodstock, New York. I wanted to go back to Woodstock. I'd lived there in the early 70s.
At Bearsville or at...
Well, I was going to do it at a place called Allaire, which mm-hmm, is at the old Pitcairn estate, which mm-hmm. used to be owned by the Pitcairns, actually were the Pittsburgh Paints.
Right.
I talked to Levon Helm about it. He says, you got to come up there. It looks like a junior college. So we tried to do it there, and what happened was the longer I tried to put everything together and organize it, it started like receding from view. And after about X number of months, I went, you know, I've got to get this thing done. So I was out in L.A., and Ross is an old friend of mine who I didn't know he was an engineer, because when I first met him, he was my guitar tech on Christine McVie's band with Steve Ferroni.
How funny.
But I didn't realize he was an engineer. And in fact, he had been an engineer for a long time and was just doing that to make ends meet. Well, since then, his career has completely taken off, and he's done everything from you know, the Black Crowes to Melissa Etheridge to Ziggy Marley and and John Fogerty. And anyway, he's there. So I call him up, and we had lunch or something. I was giving my tale of woe, and he goes, hey, man, I'll help out any way I can. So suddenly, like that was the first domino that fell. And within like 2 days, the album was set up, just in terms of logistics.
Wow.
And the fact that we got really good, great studios for a great deal, because the record business, everybody wants to make a deal, and we were able to do it. And everybody, like I said, once we started making phone calls, the players all lined up. The material was already there. I mean, you know, it was, we had way more material than we knew what to do with, and we came in and called out what we thought would be a really good record.
See, and I say this in an honest and serious way, but the maturity that I'm hearing in a lot of very young bands sit in this room, a lot of the Brit pop bands, a lot. And when you bring up the whole concept of the producer, the first thing they say is, oh man, that guy came in and he effed up the whole process, you know, and he didn't realize our vision. And next thing you know, we're sanitized. And again, we're not talking about Rick Rubin in general. We're talking about, you know, I call him Chris Lord Algae. You know, we're talking about the guys that are hired to come in with young bands that do have their limitations. They've figured out their sound to a certain extent, but the record company does bring in that producer. And even when they sign them, they say, mm-hmm. we're going to assign you a Chris Lord Algae or whoever it is mm-hmm. because you need this. And what that results in for them as their, you know, their freshman or sophomore efforts.
Right.
They might sell a lot of records, but the business to them becomes a different deal. And they yearn to play live because they hate the studio.
Let's take a look at the whole point. You got a bunch of 20-year-olds in there that, you know, it's like herding cats, you know.
Right.
And then you you've got a record company that has to bring in somebody that actually kind of makes order out of that. And I produced a lot of records, and sometimes you got to come in and say, here's the way it's going to be. At which point, you know, you have to, that's what we call the producer's decision. There's what everybody else wants, and then the guy that knows what he's doing comes in and goes, here's the way it's going to be. Everybody hates you until about 5 years later when you realize that the record still sounds really good. Now, you have to also understand, sometimes people are assigned stuff. I produced a lot of records, and what I've always tried to do, and what I do with Ross Hogarth, who actually produced the record, by the way. My name's on there, but he actually produced the record, because once we got going, I was in the maze. He was kind of operating from above the maze and knew what was working and wasn't working. Is that you want a collaborative effort.
Right.
And collaborative being that it's greater than the sum of its parts, and the fact that you both, I don't know about a vision or a hallucination, I don't know which is...
they can be the same thing depending
exactly,
on what day of the week it is.
Yeah, but I mean, what you want to do is you want to have somebody that, number one, gets the, you know, you both can look at each other and you both get the cosmic joke, you know. And then at the same time, you both have very similar or complementary views of music and whatnot and how it should sound.
I think quite often... a record company will assign a producer to a band because they have a vision from a marketing point of view of how they're going to market it. And that half the time that is not what the band intended to do.
Well,
you know, so there's, and again, you're talking about collaboration. Yeah. Half of these guys, you know, half of these bands sign contracts with big labels and they have no idea what they're in for.
Yeah. Well, you know, that's a different game there, you know?
Yes.
That's a different game. You know, these guys, they want to be off. They want to, you know, we want to sound like we do live. But if they knew how they sounded live, they wouldn't want to sound 85%,
like. 85% of the time you go see a band live. And if you get really lucky, you know, and the mixer really knows what they're doing and the sound check actually went, you know, they had enough time to do the sound check properly with the three other bands that are on the bill.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, I mean, it's just insanity.
It's an industry.
Well, that's another thing. It's like, I was talking with some other people. Delbert and I were talking at one point about, you know, of course, we've been doing this for so long, but I've never gotten over the thing of having to share the, you know, like go to some place and there's three other people on the bill. I mean,
I know it's brutal.
It, you know, the way we honed our chops down in Texas was you got hired for the night and you played all night. You played 5 hours. You played at least, you know,
40 on, 20 off, and you did that 4 or 5 times. Yeah,
yeah. And then also what was interesting was when you'd go play someplace, say you play out of town and you play a weekend. The gig lasted a weekend. It was Thursday, Friday, Saturday. And you went home on Sunday, and so you'd actually be there for 3 days, camped out, and you were working, and either the word would spread that there's a hot band down this, you know, so-and-so, but... of course, it was pretty wild, but I miss playing the whole night.
What's interesting is, you know, what From the Five means, and people can go and, you know, read about that, so we don't have to go through that whole, you know, that whole thing. But what it meant to me, and I, you know, as a guy who does play music, is, and it's really interesting because I've been to South by Southwest a bunch of times, and I play melodic rock and roll. So I do play a lot of the, you know, the British Invasion and all of that, so... I put this on and I said, wait a minute. You know, you can't define this because this is rock and roll. This is R&B. This is, you know, country. You know, but it is a rock and roll album because the definition of rock and roll in the time that we're talking about, in the Fats Domino time or, you know, even in the Beatles time, that encompassed blues, that encompassed country, that encompassed, you know, all sorts of things. So to me, it's all rock and roll. And that to me is what From the Five, you know, I mean, I knew the technicality of it, but to me, it also meant that you really did what you do, which is you didn't say, I play this kind of music.
Right. Well, you know, we're all some of our parts. And I think one of the things that you get with age and being around for a while, one of the payoffs is the fact that you have scope and you know lots of different styles of music and you're able to quote from them and take from them and everything. And not just you know, a tip of the hat, but go there, and it becomes part of your music. You know, it becomes part of who you are, and so I've never been one to just do one thing. I like too many different styles of music, so it's all on there. That's just the way I play. That, you know,
but it's easy for people to categorize, isn't it?
Well, yeah, but I mean, that's become the bane of music.
When you're trying to get it on the radio, of course, like, is this an alt country album?
Well, it's
whatever that means.
Whatever the hell that means.
You know, people will call me up and they'll say, "Do you play alt country?" And I say, "Well, I play alt rock and roll and I play alt soul." What exactly is that?
Well, I kind of side with Duke Ellington. It's either good or it's bad.
We
that's
actually
music.
My show we have a little feature we call Love It or It Sucks.
Yeah.
and pretty much if it sucks, I don't play it.
Yeah.
And if I love it, I play it. And that's a personal thing. And of course that's lost. I'm very blessed. I get to do this.
You know?
It's a very rare thing. Bigger Wheel.
Yeah.
To me is huge. It's a topic that's been covered quite a bit. But you did it in a more spiritual way than a religious way. It became it's a much bigger topic to me, and it's all about what's going on in today's world.
Well,
you know?
Yeah, that's kind of what we were going for. I didn't want to write some sort of, look, I don't like organized religion, any of them. You know, I don't like that. However, the spiritual side of things does, I think there's, that's where I stay. I was just reading this book by Nick Toshis, and he said that there was some Greek philosopher, something named Thales. He said a great thing. He said, if humans can, you know, if you think it's God's too big for you to even recognize it, and like if you recognize it, if you think this is divine, you're wrong. You know, it's much larger than that.
Exactly.
You know, if you can recognize God, it ain't God.
Well, you know what? No one. I got news for you. God's got too big a job. No one guy can handle all of this right now.
Yeah.
I mean,
so anyway, the point about spirituality is it just points to larger issues, and that way you're not confined to like spelling out your view of stuff because you're always going to get it wrong. You're always going to say, wait, what I meant to say was this. No, you just, you know, so I'd rather say.
But you know, it's funny. I'm now taking to parties. You know, you're not supposed to talk about, you know, politics or religion. I think music is equally dangerous these days. You start talking music with people and it gets equally dangerous.
Well,
it's,
I don't know.
You know, it's kind of interesting.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. I don't usually talk music to people.
No, I've learned. I'm learning very well. People try to talk music to people like us. They'll come to your party. Well, you know, I think the best one is, okay, if you were on a desert island, what would...
You ever talk to a comedian?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they have nothing... You know,
they're not funny.
They're not funny. No, they're not. No, they're not. And that's just it, is you sit there, and like, what's your top 10? And you say, I don't have them. Well, what's your top 10 favorite bands? Well, I don't have them. Well, why? Because on an alternate day, I have 5,000 favorite bands. And then on the next day, I have only one favorite band, and I'm going to play it all day long because I just want to hear that again and again and again. So good luck on that one, you know. So I think we can add all sorts of dangerous things to talk about these days. It's pretty pretty wild. You did one cover.
Yeah.
And it was a pretty interesting choice.
Ordinary Man.
Tell me about it.
I saw this movie years ago called Tapeheads.
Yeah.
And I just, you know, it was a really stupid, funny movie.
It was goofy.
It was completely goofball. But all through the movie, they're trying to get this band together. And the band, I think they were called the Swanky Modes.
The Swanky Modes, yes.
And it was Junior Walker and Sam Moore from Sam and Dave.
Right.
And
awesome.
I thought it was just cool as hell. Well, at the very closing, when the big finale comes, they are reunited, and they played this song. And at the first time I heard this song, I went, that's mine.
It's a great song.
See, I've been doing it for years and years, and right before I did the record, I talked to Delbert McClinton on the phone. He goes, "You going to do Ordinary Man? Because if you're not, I am." And I said, "Well,
I better do it."
Well, I've been, you know, people kind of recognize that song, and they think I wrote it. It sounds like something I would write, and I love that song. I thought it was great, and It's just a good time. It's not a big message song. It's just a good time. And it
rocks like hell. Absolutely. New West is kind of an interesting label. Alice Cooper, Ben Lee, Vic Chestnut, Stephen Bruton, L.A. and Austin based, right?
Also, Christopherson's got a new album coming out.
Really?
Yeah.
Totally independent, but pretty influential.
And Delbert McClinton and John Hyatt.
Wow. Totally independent label, but very influential. So I don't want to get into the whole, you know, discussion of, you know, how music is distributed these days. Nobody needs to, you know, hear the inside thing. But how do you feel being part of that?
Of what?
Of New West. I mean, it's kind of an interesting group, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, well, I was lucky because the guy that started New West signed me. It was me and Billy Joe Shaver were the two first acts. Back when it was this one guy, Cam, and he had an apartment like in Minneapolis somewhere. Now it's a big operation. It's going very well. It's in Austin and in Los Angeles. I'm happy to have a label, frankly. They increase your visibility, and, you know, I'm not exactly a household word, so it's nice to have some people that, you know, are able to put the records in stores and get some, you know, posters out and make sure that I get to do interviews and ask me to do this and that. I mean,
but again, that's a mature outlook, because most musicians these days, you know, they'll go through a major label experience and they'll say, we're going to put it out ourselves. And to me, and maybe I'm old fashioned, but isn't the whole idea when you make a record to get it heard, not to sell 10 copies of it and, you know, have a couple of, you know, have three fans club?
I don't know. I'm not going to argue that point. The point of it is if you're going to go put out your own record, guess what? You also get to become your own record company. The last thing I want to be is a damn accountant.
Right.
And that's what you spend your time doing.
I think the last discussion I had, and he sat right there with Marshall Crenshaw, he turned to me and he said, I've got to find a real label again. And I said, why? And he said, well, aside from the fact that I'm me, he said, I was my own tour manager the last time around. I barely got in here to have time to talk to you again. He said, I couldn't do it. He said, it's insane. And he said, I've got to get a label.
When you get to, you want to do it yourself, guess what? You get to do all of it yourself.
Yeah, and in the end, you want to concentrate on the
Also, like the big labels have become like any other corporation. It's like dinosaurs eating their tails. They can't move fast. Small labels like New West, I find much more. I mean, I've never been a big label guy, obviously.
Right.
But they move faster. You know, and they're starting to have their growing pains, too. I mean, you know.
Yeah, but they have a few less meetings. Just a few.
Well, what happens is the meetings you have with them actually amount to something. Everyone's in there. Everybody's in there. And so there's more traction.
Why do you think musicians, in some cases, make really good actors?
Well, I don't know about that. I mean, I kind of lucked into
it. Or do actors make really good musicians? No, probably
not. No.
Not in general. I'm trying to think of an example of that. Can anybody
I tell you. I tell you exactly why. Everything that I've learned on stage as a musician can directly be translated to acting. Every single thing in terms of
it is a show.
It is rhythm.
Right.
Yeah, and it's a ensemble piece. You know, it's about other people, you know. I have very little experience and knowledge to share with anybody about this, but I got to say, everything that I've learned on stage is directly, you know, and then also there's a lot of life experiences that you go through as a musician that you don't have to fake when you get up there, you know. When you're doing something. And I haven't been asked to do any kind of major acting. I've been given little parts here and there, and you do what you do. You try to lend yourself to the... It's just like being a session player. You lend yourself to the scene at that moment, and you play that part. You know, whether it's a good guy or a bad guy or somebody reacting to what somebody else has said, you try to just do it and make it work, you know.
Well, the last thing that we like to do, which fills out the hour, and it's a little secret, and usually people are willing to play the home game here, and when they are, it's really fun. We do a thing called a musical sandwich. It is absolutely anything that you'd like to hear with your music.
I tell you what, you can play either Fading Man or Treasured Wounds. Treasured Wounds has this wonderful horn section chorale before it starts. And there's a Bill Payne's got a new solo album.
Okay.
Cielo Norte. The very opening track might be real good to play. I would try It's You I Love by Fats Domino. One More Time by Johnny Adams. Lee Dorsey, he's going to help brother get further. And Tears, Tears, and More Tears. And you can put that along with Put Me Out of Your Misery.
There you go.
Down on the midway, the shadows are creeping, the carnies are sweeping, the sawdust and sand. Next to the mad mouse, just out of eyeshot. House paint on canvas, the world's fading man. Inside a figure, beckoned us closer. We were unsure, but we went anyway. He said, come in here quick, 'cause we're burning daylight. We were caught in the twilight with nothing to say. Is anybody here? Can you find my shadow? Like a slow burning candle, I thought it would last. Seems like I've lost what was too hard to handle. Now there's less of my future and more of my past. Smoke-colored eyes and a face made out of angles. Her silhouette dangles like a drunk cigarette. She said, what the hell, when she spied a stranger. And he felt the danger from the sway of her hips. She looked in his eyes. The windows were broken. No curtains were hanging between him and the storm. She slid him a tumbler of shoe polish brandy. He said, this comes in handy when you need to stay warm. Is anybody here? Can you find my shadow like a slow burning candle? I thought it would last. Looks like I've lost what was too hard to handle. Now there's less of my future and more of my past. She said, I miss you a lot, wherever you're going off. But I miss you more when you're standing right here. You somehow seem real when you're just a memory. You're more like a ghost when you're standing so near. He said, just 'cause you can't recall don't mean it didn't happen. And just 'cause you can remember don't mean that it did. She She watched him leave, and the clown swept up the spotlight. The man with no shadow, the world's fading man. Is anybody here? Can you find my shadow? Like a slow burning candle, I thought it would last. Seems like I've lost what was too hard to handle. Now there's less of my future and more of my past. Now there's less of my future and more of my past.
Get out my life, woman.
You don't love me no more.
Get out my life, woman.
You don't love me no more.
Get out my life, woman.
You don't love me no more, no.
Get out my eyes, children.
I've got to see my way around.
Get out my eyes, children.
I've got to see my way around, yeah.
Get out my life, honey.
Nothing but a heartache by the pound.
Get off my ladder, woman. I got to climb up to the top. Get off the ladder, woman. I've got to climb up to the top.
Oh, oh, yeah.
Get off the ladder, woman. And there is nothing gonna make me stop. Get out my way, woman.
I've got to be moving on.
Get out the way, woman.
I've got to be moving on, yeah.
Get out the way, woman.
I've got to be moving on, girl.
Get out my life, woman.
You don't love me no more.
You know I love you. Want you to love me too. Let's get together like the old folk used to do. We'll get married, go to Paris. Come here, kiss me, kiss you I love. I'll be your little boy, you'll be my little girl. We go round and round, round this great big world. Even in the rain, we'll go hand in hand. Come here, kiss me, kiss you, I love. No matter what the people say, we'll do things our way. We be together each and every day. When you are blue, I'll be there with you. Come here, kiss me, kiss you, I love. You to love me too. Let's get together like old folks used to do. We'll get married, go to Paris. Come here, kiss me, kiss you I love. I'll be your little boy, you'll be my little girl. We go round and round, round this great big world. Even in the rain, we'll go hand in hand. Come here, kiss me, kiss you I love.
This is Stephen Bruton, and Dennis, I think you should play my album from top to bottom, very loud, just about, oh, I don't know, once a week, I'd say.
Only once a week?
Well, repeat when necessary. You might need to do it daily, I think.
Sounds like a good prescription to me.
Yeah.
On the wrong side of town, it's an old lighthouse beacon for lost souls run aground, and they look at their lives like a vein that's been opened, and you can't tell for sure if they're laughing or choking. Some sit in silence and stare off in space, and some holding court tend to get in your face. But they all see themselves like a coin that's been tossed, and hope that they're worth what they lost. So turn back the clock to back when it stopped, and we'll sing all our old favorite tunes and resurrect. Kneel, bow, and genuflect before our most treasured of wounds. Now memories and shadows grow long with the day, and come back to life when night has its way. Fall on our swords before our most treasured wounds. Before our most treasured wounds. And it takes one to no one down here.
Gosh golly, that's nice. Really nice. Hour number one of Just Another Minute Sunday spent with Stephen Bruton, who's, well, it came out in July, but it's still new to me. Album From the Five. Find it on New West Records. And go to stephenbruton.com, StephenBruton.com, to hear more about the latest and greatest from this amazing, amazing musician. Thanks again to Gary Fortin, my friend in Austin, Texas, bringing Stephen to us. In his little musical sandwich, Treasured Wounds, Stephen Bruton. It's You I Love, Fats Domino, Get Out of My Life, Woman, by Lee Dorsey. I replaced that because I could not grab the one he wanted fast enough. Bill Payne from his new album, Sunday's First Light, and Stephen Bruton again, Fading Man. If you have any questions, any thoughts, any input, any output about the interview or the music you just heard, please email me, Dennis, D-E-N-N-I-S, at menaceattic.com. Next week's interview musical sandwich, actually, we're not going to do a musical sandwich, we're going to do something even more interesting. We interviewed him right before last year's South by Southwest, finally getting around to playing the interview with a very, very interesting musician, Old Man River. He'll be next week on Just Another Menace Sunday.
This is Mary from Virginia Dare. The San Francisco Women's Building, located in the Mission District, is a community center housing almost 40 separate projects ranging from immigrant and refugee rights to issues of color and the rights of gay women. The building also runs programs and services for women and children regarding jobs, housing, legal services, and other areas. You can call them at 415-431-1180 or visit them at 3543 18th Street near Valencia.
You can just pretend that that is a special effect and that when KUSF got its digital system, that we transferred it that way for the special effects. You can pretend that, whether it's true or not. I think that's the wrong IPSA. That's the wrong IPSA. This is the IPSA I wanted. Let's try this one.
Pacific Union Realty takes this time to remind us, giving blood is safe, easy, and relatively painless. Don't put it off. Give blood today. You'll be glad you did. This important community reminder is brought to you by the concerned staff at Pacific Union Realty in San Francisco, with 14 locations throughout the Bay Area. For information, you may visit their website at www.pacunion.com. On the air because they care about the people in this community.
See, that was the equipment getting back at me. Every time I make fun of something in this radio station, something technical happens. Par for the course. Karma, baby. I'm not in New York anymore. I'm in California. It's all about karma. It's also all about that I better get to hour number two, or 57 minutes worth anyway, of Just Another Menace Sunday, all new melodic rock and roll a la Dennis the Menace. So get ready to take off, baby. And Mr. Engineer, otherwise known as Troy, would you please hit CD number two right now?